KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
So there's a new Mortal Kombat trailer.
There is, and for a minute I thought that it was a new detective series trailer.
It looks kind of like that. Joystick is like, it's got this character in it and this character. They don't mention Stryker, but I'm pretty sure there was Stryker walking by the frame at the beginning when Jax is first introduced. Like, I don't have it up in front of me right now, but...
The detective?
It does kind of look like him.
Right? When he walks by?
Yeah, I saw that.
So you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, spoiler alert, Johnny Cage does get killed right in the beginning, so he might not be playable if this does end up being a game. Because they haven't announced what exactly it is, if it's a game or if it's a new movie they're making or if it's a tie-in for both of them.
They go pretty far into the idea of Baraka.
Okay, now we're watching a disgusting baby. Is that Baraka?
I'm pretty sure that's Baraka.
No, that was Reptile.
That was Reptile?
Yeah, because he's like got flaky skin and he's got mutated face and he kills people and eats their heads. That's pretty much his new story now.
Crazy.
Well, that looks like a case of bad parenting.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting.
But Baraka's story is pretty awesome. He's like a doctor who gets like blades infused in his arms or something, and he's like all messed up.
So right here in the studio, we don't have sound on the computer.
Yeah.
So I can't hear what's going on.
So I could say anything. You would never know what it is.
We're basically, watching.
Like, oh, that sounds good. Sure.
As we speak.
But I guess what's funny about this is that we don't know what it's for. They just sort of put the video out. Somebody made this very professional video that's for Mortal Kombat, but we don't know if it's for a movie or for a game or for... just a side project for some college students? Like, we have no idea, right?
Well, according to the Latino review, it's, like, for the new movie. Like,
I'm sorry, did you say the Latino review?
That's the website that I saw that Joystick linked to when they gave an update for it.
Okay.
They said that it was a video for the director of the new Mortal Kombat movie, but it didn't really seem too legitimate, so I can't be sure, 100% sure if that's what it was for.
Is the director Latino?
Yes.
Okay.
Dude, that Baraka makeup is crazy. Anyway, I'm interested to see if a game comes out of this, because like you said, they're talking about a reboot of the game. I have not heard this yet.
Well, it just seems crazy that, like, because the WB bought that property. I'm not sure if they bought the studio, too, the WB Interactive Entertainment, their branch of making games. And Ed Boon keeps talking about, oh, we got a new Mortal Kombat coming out. Check out my Twitter. But he always says that. So it's like you can't really be sure what's happening with E3 this close and then them leaking this video. I think it's going to have some kind of connection, you know?
Yeah. You know what? My first reaction from... you telling me about it right when I walked into the studio was, maybe they should just make a movie. But then I remembered the movie.
And now I'm thinking... there were two of the movies, actually.
Maybe they shouldn't just make a movie.
You know, you say that, but the Mortal Kombat movie was actually, sort of acclaimed as one of the only good video game movies around. Now, Mortal Kombat Annihilation...
That makes me very sad.
Mortal Kombat Annihilation, everyone hated. But that first one, it was...
Okay. Which one was the one where they're like, it's like at the end, and then like it's like you think it's a good ending, but then like in the last 5 seconds, like for some reason, like Shang Tsung like comes out of nowhere, and then like the Mortal Kombat techno theme by like that porn star or whatever comes on?
No, it wasn't Shang Tsung. It was the other guy whose name I can't remember.
Something else.
The bigger, badder guy from the second one.
Oh, okay. Because you can't just have the normal bad guy. No, have to have the bad guy.
That's the thing. So do you remember the original Street Fighter movie?
Yes.
Right?
Wait, whoa. We're talking about the anime?
I'm
talking about the original live action.
Raul Julia
Van Damme.
I did not watch Raul Julia Van Damme.
Okay. So that movie was nothing like the game. And so many movies that come out of games are nothing like the game. I think House of the Dead is somewhat like the game.
Like Super Mario
House
Brothers?
House of the Dead? Have you seen that movie? That's not... What?
Super Mario Brothers?
No!
They're nothing like it. Right, because these things, they just take them, and they're just like, oh, this is recognizable, this will sell, and then they do whatever, right? But go ahead.
I'm going to say this. Mortal Kombat, it's a crazy premise for a story to begin with, right? The game is... It's a bunch of people fighting, and they're weird people.
It's all in the execution, dude.
But
there's
within the context of the game, they made possibly the best movie they could make out of it. I mean, they even put Goro in there.
I don't know, dude. No.
Oh, yeah. No. And they had a hot chick playing Sonya, who like was in Playboy or something before that. Like, they did a good job with it. It's not like that Dead or Alive movie that nobody saw.
I would not say that they did a good job with it.
Okay, well, it's all opinion, but I liked it. And a lot of other people felt it was one of the better
ones. Happy to see live action Sonya Styles wrap around somebody's
head.
That
was pretty cool.
Didn't she break someone's head that way? Like, she wrapped around and broke their head? Broke their neck?
Yeah, I think so. Something like that.
Awesome.
So, but Mortal Kombat Annihilation, the second movie, people didn't like as much.
Yeah. So, I don't think I saw that one. I think it was the first one I saw.
Yeah, it was crazier, dude, because the characters in Mortal Kombat 3 got even crazier. And the settings were, like, not Earth-like. And this movie that we're watching right now, the Mortal Kombat one, is very much like, you know, it's an Earth setting. It's relative to today. It doesn't fit the real storyline.
Yeah, but the setting...
They might still do a good job with it. Like, that new Batman series, you know, when they reboot Batman.
They might do a good job with it, but I have no hope. You know, this is like between Bloodsport. You guys remember that movie?
Yeah.
Okay, classic movie. And then, like, years later, they kind of did, like, a redo... But not really. It was, and I don't even remember what it was called, but it had Jean-Claude Van Damme in it. It was the same kind of premise. It was like fighters from all around the world. And it was like 100 times better production value, right? But total POS.
Okay.
Through and through.
Well, what I find funny is that just a minute ago I said that Mortal Kombat, the movie, was good because it stuck to the game. And then I talked about how this could be good, even though it doesn't stick to the game premise at all. But I still want to see it. Let's see what happens with it. Moving past that, let's tell everybody this is the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. That's where we're talking about games and movies. We don't really talk about movies all that much.
Every once in a while.
Video game movies.
Well, yes, video game movies. Is that a famous actress chick in this? The girl from one of the Star Trek shows? No?
No idea.
I don't know. Okay. Anyway, video games, chatterboxgameshow.com. Yes, I'm totally right. She's from a Star Trek show.
Yeah, that's 7 of 9.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Okay, cool. Anyway, I should not have video running during
the
show.
Pretty cute.
ChatterboxGameShow.com is our website. My name is Alon. That's Colin.
My name's Ara.
Hey, that was cool.
How dare you interrupt the announcement of my name?
If you were watching, you would have known. Your head's down on the computer.
I'm watching the chat room and saying hi to everyone, so hi, chat room.
All right, while we're at it, I'm going to remind everyone to go to Golgatron.com, which is a little sister site of ours. Colin's been hanging out with the Golgatron guys. You're going to go to E3 next week, right?
Woo!
Yes.
So... let's chit-chat about E3 a little bit. It's a big event. It happens every year unless it doesn't happen like it did recently.
Like
two years
for two
ago.
Years and then it came back.
Yeah, I think it was only 1 year it was actually gone. But
right.
All right, so what are your expectations for E3? Go.
I think it's going to be crazy. I'm hoping there's going to be a lot of amazing announcements. I've been hearing stuff. Itagaki, the guy who did the Ninja Gaiden series, making an announcement. There's like a bunch. Valve has some crazy stuff going on too. Like, did you guys hear about that? They canceled their event for Portal 2, and then they've replaced it with something else. It's all like viral marketing, but I'm still really excited about it.
You think this is all on purpose? Like,
oh,
it's part
of
their like we're gonna pretend to announce something, but then we won't, and we'll just say it's canceled so that we can announce something else.
Yeah,
I hope it's just more Portal 2. Like, oh, psych,
we canceled it, but we brought it back.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, according to Corey Jacobs of Golgatron, it's gonna be Left 4 Dead 3. According to Gabe Newell, it's not going to be Half-Life Episode 3, which is what I was banking on. So I'm not really sure what it's going to be. Hopefully Portal 2, because I want to see some of that. Looks
dude,
crazy.
I'm all over the Portal game. Which I never played the extra episodes, or the extra whatever, that they put on Xbox Live.
You guys would really like want to play more Portal?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Did you read that Game Informer article where they're talking about what they're going to do with it?
No.
It's supposed to be like set in the future, like 1,000 years somehow, and you got put into cryogenic freezing, and...
you're playing the same character?
And you have to have the same gun that will be a tool for the rest of the game?
I'm not exactly sure what the details are, but apparently like the whole facility is kind of falling apart, and you have a piece of GLaDOS with you, who is like going to be your little buddy.
You know what? That's going to be a tough act to follow. That's
definitely
all I'm going to say about that, because the premise was so unique that they're running into a huge risk of people being very, very disappointed by the high standards they've already set. Because if they just do, like, I don't know. I think if they just do the same thing but a little bit more, it's not going to be enough. But apparently you guys disagree. So,
well, I didn't say that it's going to be something amazing, although I do think it will be. I'm just saying I want to play more. Like, I was ready to play more when the game ended.
Yeah.
So that's all. And if they could just fix a couple control issues with it, even more happy. And if they could put in some sort of multiplayer somehow, that would make it pretty sweet. But I can't imagine how that would even exist.
I've seen, like, have you seen the multiplayer stuff where they modded in the portal gun into the Half-Life 2 multiplayer?
No, I haven't.
Because it's pretty insanity. Like, I don't even know how that game, like, the gameplay just looked out of control. Like, no one knew what was going on. And I don't even know how that would, like, translate well to multiplayer.
I think Portal would be an interesting game, multiplayer, if you didn't have weapons to kill the other players. You only had tools to... make them dead in the environment, right? So, like, you could set up portals and force them to walk into one that they didn't know was there, or you place it there at just the last moment.
Drop
so
them into an acid pit.
So they fall into something, yeah.
That or sounds like or you make an object. Deception.
Yeah, a little bit, although, yeah. You know, without the portal mechanic. But dropping stuff on their heads or, you know, forcing something to
like lava.
Come out of nowhere and get them right. Yeah, if you could put a hole in the lava floor so lava falls through the ceiling on them or something. Like, that would be interesting. Also, I think hard to pull off, but...
Which, by the way,
interesting.
Tecmo's Deception,
yeah.
That was an excellent premise for a game.
Yeah. I don't know how many people played that.
Not many. They happened to make three of them.
Yeah, it was very well received by everyone who played it. So describe this game for the listeners who don't know.
Okay, so it's kind of funny because this game has gone pretty much under the radar. It was a PS1 game, and they made three of them. And the first one was called Tecmo's
Deception. There was one on the PS2 as well,
Deception.
Right?
Maybe. I think it was called Trapped.
Yeah, they may have changed the name of it.
Yeah, which is apparent. I understand that there is a musical Entourage, also named Trapped.
Okay.
Not the band, the game.
What was that called?
I've got an update on the Mortal Kombat.
Not based on the band.
Already?
Already.
Breaking news.
The famous lady who was Sonya Blade, she actually announced...
Sonya.
So, yeah. She announced on her Twitter that this is not a game trailer or a film trailer. It was kind of like just a pitch to WB to make a new movie. So it doesn't...
I see.
Wait. Not
even,
a TV
so
series?
Even less exciting,
yeah,
in other words.
So it fails.
Well, hold on.
Is that why it's so dark? And you can't see anything because they didn't want to put enough stuff in the atmosphere?
So this was like what? This was like the Batman like fan-made thing or like the other like Street Fighter fan-made thing that like
and
probably will never come to light.
What does she even know about it?
She was an actress in it, and I think that...
Yeah, in
okay.
the first
Look,
movie.
You don't argue with Sonya Blade. She's going to unleash her thighs at you.
It was Bridget Nielsen, right? Not Brigitte.
I don't know.
Jerry.
I don't know
wait,
her name.
Who are we talking about?
Like Bridget Sonya. Somebody?
Sonya.
Played oh,
Sonya
so Blade Jerry before. Bryant. Jerry Ryan.
Jerry Ryan. She's not Sonya from the original movie. She might be Sonya in this movie.
That's,
I didn't know who she was.
Yeah,
she's the
7 Jerry
of 9.
Jerry Ryan, not in the old Mortal Kombat.
Okay.
Okay, so going back to what the hell are we talking about? Tecmo's Deception, right? Yeah. So, all right, this is cool. We're very freeform tonight. This is nice. So Tecmo's Deception was a first person game where you basically enemies came into your castle, right? They're invaders, and you killed them not by direct action but by indirect action. So you basically created traps. And you lured them into them, and the more successive traps you could actually hit them with in combination, the better your score was. So you tried to basically set up these combos of traps, and
meanwhile they were trying to attack you, and you were in the same room,
right?
But you had to try and escape them, and you couldn't hurt them unless you used something in the environment,
right? And there was a phase before the actual game starts where you set up your traps, right? So it's kind of a two-phase play.
Okay.
I think it would translate great to multiplayer. I don't know why nobody's actually tried that before.
Well, you know, you are a game designer.
That's true.
All right. Well, stay tuned, folks. After the break, I'll tell you about the amazing pastries that I just ordered.
Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX, AM 1100.
Welcome back, folks. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio.
Here at Chatterbox, we like to remind people every week to go to uat.edu, the website for the University of Advanced Technology, because you, too, could be a video game professional.
That's right.
Designing games, building games.
You could even make a game based on Tecmo's Deception.
You could. A multiplayer game.
You could totally do that.
I just want a single-player Hakan game. After watching this intro cinematic, because it looks amazing.
Okay, so what do you guys want to do? Like, act out little dialogues from Street Fighter?
So let's remind ourselves that Colin over here said, "Hey guys, I'd like to be on the show. I'm going to school for creative writing." And I said, "Whoa, creative writing? Well, let's do some cool scripts. Let's do something for the show, maybe a little recording or some impromptu acting on the show for comedic value or for just dramatic entertainment.
And while at the same time taking advantage of his superior training and skill.
Definitely.
Exactly.
And so I then thought to myself, without Colin's input, this was the creative part of me. I said, well, I just watched the Hakan intro for Super Street Fighter 4, and it was, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, Bojangle-tastic. We have to do that on the show. And this wouldn't be one of those comedic value ones. This would be just a dramatic reenactment.
Was there a lot of fried chicken involved?
No, but there was certainly a lot of frying involved. So I thought we would start off with that. Maybe we would do some other, like, just reenacting scripts from games would be, be fun.
I'd like to reenact a script.
Oh, do you have one? Is it going to be from Rayplay?
Oh, my God, yes.
Very, very well executed, but no. But I can certainly participate in some impromptu creative writing.
Okay. Well, before we get to that, because I don't think we actually have the script written down, we might have to do that next week.
We can do just a little one.
Colin's going to be gone next week at E3. Bastard.
Here's what we could do.
Do you want to, like, I'll be Hakan.
I could tell.
Okay. Just say something to me.
What I was thinking, actually, is originally the thought process was we would make up our own scripts that, you know, are so bad they could be from Super Street Fighter 4.
Okay.
Or from any Street Fighter
series. I'm ready. Bring it.
Can you impromptu Hakan?
No,
I'm going to impromptu Hakan.
I'm not ready to do that right now.
I'm ready. No, I'm prepared.
I'm going to leave the listener that we have in suspense.
I'm really ready for this. Just give me a line and I'll take it from there.
What's the opening line?
Okay.
Now,
we have a suggestion from the chat room. He wants you to do Tecmo Deception Freestyle. That's what he wants you to do.
No, I'm not a rapper.
Be the game.
Do I look like a rapper?
I'm just saying.
No, I can successfully emulate Japlish, but not hip-hop. Okay, guys?
Real quick, I forgot. We need to hear about these pastries that you said you were going to get.
I was promising that. Okay, so right before I came to the show, as you know, folks, if you're a solid listener of Chatterbox, I'm getting married soon, and that means in like 2.5 weeks. And
well, that means you better enjoy your pastries right now.
I realized, oh, crap, I want Kringles at my wedding. And for those who know what Kringles are, you're probably going, oh, my God, I'm going to have Kringles at my wedding. Or, oh, right, Norm knows what I'm talking about.
I love Kringles.
Oh, yes, yeah. You do. Dude, I just ordered $200 worth of Kringle, Norm.
Where did you get them from?
O&H Danish Bakery.
Great place.
Right?
I used to live in Racine, and I've been to O&H quite a few times.
Ah, man, never been there. Someone sent me one of the gifts.
You can go and get, they have a little contest every week for a free Kringle.
Oh, my gosh. That is magical. These things are wonderful, and so I said to myself, I need to have them. I'm going to order them in advance to make sure they're there. Apparently, you can get them within just like one day anyway, but I said, I want them this day. So I have to go home, because I'm going to be staying not at my house for that week, right? Somewhere else for the wedding. But I'm going to go back to my house and wait at my house for these 11 or 12 boxes, or maybe one large box of 12 pastries, to arrive. One of them, by the way, not a Kringle. One was just like a coffee cake thing. But 11 friggin' Kringles. So you guys, they have not paid me for this, but I think it's O-H Danish...
O-N-H. O-N-H Danish Bakery.
O-and-H?
O&H.
If you just go to OH Danish Bakery, also the same website. So,
can you give us a sponsorship, OH Danish Bakery?
Oh my God, I should tell them that I talked about them on the radio.
Yeah. We should do some kind of reverse sponsoring.
They are
here.
Amazing. Order them and be happy. And I went into all like the funky ones, like the pumpkin caramel, which are seasonal but available. And
oh my God.
I am so excited.
I forgot to say that we have one more question from the chat room too.
Okay.
All right.
Is this the one we mentioned during break?
Yes.
Okay, what is it?
The question is, if you could name your child after any video game character, which child would you name it after? I mean, what video game character would you name it after?
Okay, now, my instinctive response to you during the break, I'm going to let the listeners know about this now. Not that I plan on having any kids soon. Initially, Waluigi.
Yeah, and my response and my response was, I would like you to attempt to name your child Waluigi and see what happens.
We could call Michaela, find out what she thinks.
Let's totally do that.
I actually have the names for my kids picked out already.
And are they video game character based?
No. While I don't want children necessarily right now or for a very long time, I already know what names they would have, but she's kind of fighting me on them. I think she decided she wants Thor.
Yes.
Thor. Yeah.
I actually know a kid named Odin.
That's not an a-hole's name at all.
No. But it is probably in at least one video game. So.
Yes, and that's true. Yes.
All right. Yeah.
So okay. I would go Waluigi, or as a second place, Boo.
Yeah. Now, I would never, ever name a kid.
All right. They've got a gun to your head.
A character.
You've got to name your kid after a video game.
A child after a video game character. But if I had to, if you had a gun to my head, I would choose a name that nobody would connect to video games.
Like what? Matsunoku or...
Yeah, because that's like nothing.
Or like...
I don't know.
Ken?
Zangief? Yeah.
Maybe. But you know what? I would probably, like, my kids would probably hate me if I ever had them because I would pick a weird name.
Yeah.
It would be really, really weird.
And they would look at dad and call him Zangief.
Yeah. Right. Yes, yeah.
You actually fit the mold pretty well.
You know what? All I need to do is selectively, like, cut my hair, and by hair, I mean the part
the chest
under
hair.
My head.
Yeah.
And then I could probably do a pretty
we
good
could get
Zangief
you into a
impression.
Mohawk.
Although I'm pretty small for Zangief. I mean, Zangief is pretty big. I mean, you know.
He is big. All right, so let's actually talk about some games here.
Okay, wait, hold on, though.
Okay.
We never got to do the impromptu Street Fighter. I have it. Just all you need to do is just be one character and say one line, and then I'll respond.
Give me the tell us the opening line, and I'll play the other character.
No, I'll play the other character. I'm ready. I've been waiting.
Well, you
got to
be one,
this.
And I will be the other.
Okay, let's do that.
Just because Colin doesn't look like he's prepared for this.
Okay, well, just say something like Chun-Li would say.
So do you want to be the street punk, or do you want to be Hakan, the oil
I'll
tycoon?
I'll be Hakan.
All right. Hakan, your first line is...
No. I have my first line.
I thought we were telling you the first line.
No, I've
All right, here's the first
line.
I've
written my whole line in my head this entire
time. Surely you know this is the private property of Hakan, the oil king of Turkey. Go, scene.
Surely you know this is the... he's Turkish? Man.
You've already broken character.
He's Turkish. Why does he have to be Turkish?
Because he's the oil king of Turkey.
I am the oil king of Armenia. My name is Hakan.
No.
Don't you know this is the property of Hakan, the oil king of Turkey?
I'm ad-libbing.
Oh, that is your line.
I have to give a shout-out. I forgot. One of my friends did name his child Coltrane after Coltrane of Gears of War fame.
Okay.
So I forgot to say that.
All right. We're going to hit him in the head.
Okay.
One day.
Okay. So what's the punk say?
Well, I don't know, but let's go with this.
I am ready to engulf you in my special non-flammable cooking oil.
Oh, my God. All right, video games. What have you guys been playing?
Right. Not an improv actor right here.
All right, let's talk about some games.
You wanted to talk about Aqua.
Yeah.
Something for the 360,
yes.
Which is like a naval battle game. But...
Yeah, so this is really interesting. I was playing the demo for – the Aqua demo just came out. So I was playing that and – it made me think of something really cool to talk about.
Okay, so let's start off. It's naval battle. You're a little ship. You're going around shooting other ships. It's twin stick controls, meaning it's like Smash TV or Geometry Wars.
Right, or Robotron if you want to go to the original.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But what is somewhat unique about this game...
Well, there's a lot of unique things, but the interesting thing that I wanted to talk about was the way situations are designed. This is kind of hard to explain in a few number of words. Basically, in that game, right, you have a huge life bar, and your mobility compared to, let's say, a Robotron-style game is severely reduced, right? Like, when you turn around, I mean, this thing's got a truck around. The controls are responsive, but they're slow, right?
Yeah.
And so, basically, you have...
Not only that, your velocity is simply not high.
Yeah, well, you have a huge life bar, and you can take a lot of hits, but you move slowly, and a lot of firepower gets dished at you. So, when we come back... I'll explain to you guys about why that's not so cool.
Okay. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one. Woohoo!
So this is the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show, an interesting trivia for you to learn. Of the many Kringles that I bought, the most interesting flavor, perhaps the simple rhubarb Kringle.
Now, I don't understand why anybody would want to order food with barbs in it.
I don't even know what a rhubarb tastes like. I think I had it once.
Much less.
And it tasted good, so I'm going for it.
Okay, you didn't get any barbs in your mouth?
No. Anyway, I am super, super excited about this stuff. Do we have any more questions from the chat room?
We have a confirmation that Valve is releasing Duke Nukem Forever thanks to
Shut
a picture.
Shut up. No way. I don't believe that.
It's not really confirmation. Let me give credit to where it is due. There is a link. I'm looking at it right now.
I think this is a massive troll, you guys.
Probably.
No, it's not coming.
But Source Engine 2, that's another possible thing that could be coming out, which I could see that.
Yeah, whatever. Okay, so you wanted to talk about an aspect of Aqua.
Okay, so this is not actually just about Aqua, but Aqua is a really good example. And there's a lot of games that will fit into this type of game, right? And this type is generally the one where, just to recap from last segment, you get a lot of health, and there's a lot of stuff that's thrown at you that you have to dodge. But usually the way that these types of games turn out is that the reason why they give you so much health is because they're throwing so many projectiles at you that you actually are rarely in a situation where you can always dodge all of them.
Well, if you also can't go in the direction you want to go because it's a boat that has to turn around.
It takes time to turn, right? So you have a turning circle. You can't instantly turn, right? So this is in a direct contrast to games like Symphony of the Night, where the developers have explicitly expressed that the way that they designed their game, Castlevania, Symphony of the Night, is that every single encounter, if you're good enough, can be dealt with without ever getting hit.
And that's sort of...
if you're good enough.
That's kind of like... like, I never grew up with a manual for how games are supposed to be.
Right.
But growing up in the Nintendo generation, I had the impression that that's how all games were built. It's possible, although extremely unlikely, that you could go through an entire game without getting hit. And that was sort of a rule. Like, a developer needs to make a game such that you don't definitely get hit. Because there's no point when you should have to die.
Right. Well, the funny thing is, you know, a lot of the older style games, right, you either died if you got hit right away, or you had very few number of hits, right? So the funny thing about all of this is that it's, you know, once I explain this to you, right, these kind of like two ways of making a game, let's say, right, it's not really obvious why one's better than the other. And in fact, I find myself at a loss for explaining in a convincing way why one way is really, really lame and bad, and the other way is about a million times better. But I think that if people play a game and they're actually concerned about their performance, like they want to do good, I think that if you play a game like Aqua, let's say, right, play that for a while, and then, I mean, other games do this too. The Lego games, not Lego Rock Band, but the other Lego games like Star Wars, for example, and in fact, actually, like Traveler's Tales' games, they were the developer of that game, they're infamous for doing this. They will throw you in situations all the time where there's so much junk coming at you that you have no hope of dodging at all. And you're basically reduced to trying to just find the path of least pain through this barrage.
And I mean, as long as it's not an instant death scenario, that's fine.
Well, that's the rule.
I just think you should never be forced to die. Well, if you're forced to lose some energy, that's not so bad.
Here's the thing. It's a really, really sloppy way to design games. And like I was saying, it's hard to express in words why it's so bad, but I think if you play one of those games, and then if you play a game like Symphony of the Night, I think that you just really have to experience it to gain an appreciation for why it's so much better when you're playing a game where not only just do you know that if I do well enough, I can do this perfectly without any mistakes, but I think maybe one of the reasons is because with that kind of latitude in your performance, you can actually measurably get better and feel like you're getting better. If there's tons of things, hits that you're absorbing, like in Aqua, for example, right? You'll take hits, okay? You'll take hits, but it's hard to tell the consequences of one hit because the consequences are so small. And in fact, there's very little visual feedback for getting hit just once because you have so much energy.
Yeah, but I mean, I think this is something that only has to do with your, you know, someone who has a perfectionist attitude. Because you want to know that you did, you know, X or Y action properly.
Well, if
properly means not getting hurt.
Right. If by perfectionist attitude you mean if you're concerned about performance, then I agree. But I think that what this really comes down to is, you know, if you play for performance, if you're concerned about doing better, then this is good. And if you don't care, then I would probably ask the question of, you know, are, you know, maybe you're just playing the game casually and you don't care about performance. And in that case, it doesn't even matter what happens.
Maybe the game itself is fun to you. Maybe the things that you do are enjoyable.
Well, sure. Everyone likes things blowing up. That's why I like to say a lot of times that the greater population of the people who actually play games are not necessarily gamers. They're people who just want some kind of generalized excitement. It's not the games. They don't play the game for the gameplay. They just play the game because it's exciting. And so, and this is true, I think, for a lot of people that play, say, like Lego Star Wars. They're not necessarily playing for performance. They like to see cool things. They like to collect these coins. They like to see stuff blow up. It's, they don't play for performance. And I think that that really, like, divides the population of gamers.
What is the mechanism for, like, regaining health, if there is any? Like, is there anything?
In that game, you get health pickups.
So you get health pickups
like any other
that?
Game, sure.
Okay. And it's not like Geometry Wars, where it's just, like, one session. It's like it builds on each other. You have missions you have to go do and everything.
Yeah, like let's say there's a campaign.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay, so there's a campaign to it.
Sure.
I don't know. I think in a game like Geometry Wars where you're getting hit constantly, it's like a one-hit death kind of situation where like you can die. Like you need to avoid all the attacks and that's really important. But in this situation where it's a campaign, you're like, is there a way to upgrade your abilities at all or anything or no?
I think there is.
There is?
Yeah. Just assume there is.
Yeah, I just think that like because you're able to get faster and stronger and maybe faster, maybe stronger, that maybe that it's designed so that you need to like invest into those new things and that you need to like take those hits in the beginning and maybe you can go back and just get better at it. Like instead of getting better, you get those like fake skill points
but
with it.
At that point, we're making a lot of assumptions about how that game works that we're not sure if it does it that way or not.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I want to delve into that kind of specificity. But it's interesting because, you know, the kind of people who play games casually, right? You don't have to play a casual game to play a game casually. They're not wrong about the way they play games. Their reasons for playing games are just as valid as anyone else's. But if you're going to go to the trouble of designing a scenario where what you do matters, then I think you should really make it count. And the types of games where, you know, you can just absorb lots of hits and it's just kind of like a war of attrition type of thing, I think that they're just kind of taking the easy way out and not really making the interactions count.
I don't necessarily agree.
I know you don't.
It may be the case sometimes, but I don't know. If you're simply forced to lose some energy...
Let me put it to you this way. Like, it's kind of like a Guitar Hero song where there's just some parts where you could not hit all the notes. There's just no way that you could hit all the notes.
See, and that actually really bothers me.
And that's exactly the same type of situation.
What song was that you can't all the notes?
There isn't one, but that's what I'm saying. Imagine a Guitar Hero stage or song
where you couldn't get
100%. Where they designed it in such a way that it's impossible to hit them all. You could only hope to hit most of them.
Hey, this actually, in reference to that, this weekend we went to a wedding.
Well, yeah.
For the famous Anthony Birch of Hey Ash, What You Playin'? And I played some DDR, and I will tell you that I played DDR one time on, it was DDR Solo 2000 or DDR Solo Bass Mix 2000
yes,
or something.
Yes, I'm so glad you're bringing this up.
Yeah, so that was a six-button version of Dance Dance Revolution. It had up, left, and up, right. And I don't remember the song or any of the details, but I can tell you that I played a song.
It was rough.
I
watched it. It was rough.
And I was, it was requested of the player that you hit four buttons at once.
Put your hands down, get your feet in the back.
Right. Yeah. Now, a lot of people who made their own songs would do this so that you have to use your hands. But like the official version, I don't think it had any requirement that you use your hands. But it was because it had, like, it caught me so off guard that I didn't do it. But it's because it was like left and right and up left and up right. So you, one foot could hit two panels because they're neighboring panels. Very difficult portion of the game.
That's rough. Now,
but could be done.
I think that you got robbed during that session? Because you were playing against an expert, okay?
I was an expert once.
You were an expert once, but this guy, I mean, now come on. This guy was hitting perfect straight up, all of them, right?
It was someone famous, wasn't it? The guy who you were playing? Someone in the video games industry
also,
famous.
No, he's also in Hop. He does Hey Ash, which you're playing with them. Grant from Hey Ash, which
you're playing. Okay, so I don't know
Grant.
Apparently
big DDR fairy.
Maybe, Grant, if you're listening, I'll really piss you off. But, hey, that comes with the territory. Them's the breaks. Yeah. I can't stand it when people play this game while holding onto the bar. How is holding onto the bar part of playing the game?
I don't know, man.
It's a
funny
crutch. It's literally a crutch. You're holding on to something so you can modulate your weight better.
You know what? I said that to him. I said before we started playing, because I knew he was younger than me. I said, actually, I'm an old school player, right? I'm not into that holding the bar stuff, because the guy we were watching was holding the bar. Yeah. I was like maybe on the super hard ones, if you absolutely have to, because it's not possible to shift that fast.
Interesting.
But the problem is, once you accept that you can do it, you do it on all of them.
There you go.
And that's just not my style.
There you go.
And it bothered me. It really did. We'll be right back.
All right, and we're back again. For the last time for this week, it's Chatterbox.
We have touched on so many topics today.
This was, I feel really good about this show. This was like a whirlwind. We kind of like interlaced it with layers in the beginning.
Yeah. Like an onion.
And like an onion.
Like a Kringle pastry.
And then later on, we were more like an apple with just one layer without changing layers too much.
All right. Well, one thing I do want to talk about again, actually, we were talking about this earlier, is UAT, the University of Advanced Technology, and their website, uat.edu. Don't forget about them. Check them out if you're interested in going. You guys hear me say that a lot, but it's important that I do because otherwise you wouldn't hear me at all. Yeah.
Well, something else that's important from time to time is our number, 866-536-1100.
And the fact that we have a chat room that is fully functional through some sort of hocus-pocus magic.
It was mine. I did that.
Yep, chatterboxgameshow.com. So I can promise you, unequivocally, we will have some sort of prepared script event in the future.
Do it better than what we just did?
Yes.
That was just the pinnacle. The pinnacle of thespianism.
Colin thought we were all professional when he comes here, and I tell him, you are going to be what makes us professional. That's what it is. So, you know, help us with that.
I'll try.
Colin, buddy.
I'll do my best. I'll be the inspiration here. Yeah. So do we have a planned last segment? Because I've got a pretty good one that a person in the chat room kind of...
You're not supposed to ask. You just talk.
Oh, okay. All right. So for last segment, we have a suggestion from the chat room from What Up G. And he asks, we should do E3 predictions. What are y'all looking most forward to? And like not just E3 stuff. Like just what are you looking most forward to in the near future if you don't know anything about E3?
So I got to tell you, I'm not so sure about E3 and what they're going to talk about. Like the Nintendo 3DS. Cool. And more sequels to more games that we've already played before, right? Like maybe you'll be able to play Gears of War 3 that's suddenly in the news here. But I'm more amazed at the number of high-ish quality games that have just been released. Like Blur, people have said so many good things about, just came out. Everyone I know is talking about Red Dead Redemption these days.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, no one's talking about Super Mario Galaxy 2, but that's because everyone's an idiot. So I honestly haven't even played it. It's waiting for me to play it. It's calling to me from my closet. But I haven't had time because of this whole new house and wedding thing. but there's so many. Alan Wake came out recently, right?
Okay.
I think it did. Rich talked about playing it. So
it did come out.
So it must have come out.
Yeah, exactly.
These games are all in
maybe
like GameFly
demo
too.
Or something. So what games are you actually getting through GameFly?
I've gotten like one so far, and I've waited like a week. I don't know what's going on. It's taking forever. Netflix has got like 7 videos back and forth, and I'm still waiting on my GameFly stuff.
Are you a new?
Yeah, I'm a new subscriber.
Member?
I just got it.
That's interesting because I hear they give priority to the new members.
Yeah, Netflix definitely does.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of like high quality games that have just come out, and it's May and June that these things are happening. I mean, Super Street Fighter 4 came out as well in May. So a lot of big titles, which it just caught me off guard. I don't know, is there like a new Christmas in July sort of situation where everyone has decided that we're not going to release games in Christmas because it's too saturated, so now everyone releases in May?
I think that they're kind of doing that out of necessity, just because I think the Christmas season is already saturated, just period. And I think that companies, they're just trying to do whatever they can to make the most money. So they're like, man, all these games are coming out during Christmas time, right? It's so saturated that it's increasingly leaving a gaping hole during the summer, which, you know, they're rapidly filling.
It's interesting, like, movie theaters, you can't release too many movies at once because movie theaters only can show so many movies. I mean, unless they want to go weird and, like, show a different movie in each theater, you know,
right,
every couple hours. So there's actually a real saturation point.
Right. Well, it's more extreme for that. But, I mean, I do know that publishers will deliberately schedule games before or after the expected release of competitors' games for same reason.
Looking at Modern Warfare 2 last year, like, nothing was released around that time because everyone knew it was going to dominate. But then, like, the smaller games got a bigger, like, Darksiders got a sale increase, I think, because there was nothing besides Modern Warfare 2 out there to play.
Yeah, I mean, it really depends on your expectations, right? So maybe they did it on purpose, release it with that game since nobody else would.
Yeah.
But I like this idea. Spread them out over the course of the year. That
it's,
makes me feel
it's
more
better for everyone because
you just miss out on stuff.
Yeah.
If it all comes out on Christmas.
Well, right. I mean, there's only, I mean, I guess the people who are calculating how much piracy is costing the industry don't understand this, but there's only so many games you can play at one time. And if you're playing one game, that means you're not playing another game. And if you're playing one game and not playing another game, you're also not buying that other game.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, I mentioned Blur a minute ago. I still haven't played that. So everyone's saying incredible things about it.
Yeah, it's good.
I gotta give that a try.
Good. I don't think it's incredible, but it's good.
So what is it that we're supposed to be talking about now?
I was just thinking, Ara, what are your expectations for E3? Or in the near future, what games do you want to see?
You know what? I have, over the many years of...
Ara wants Scribblenauts 2.
No, that's not what I want. You know what? I'll just tell you guys this. You guys want to hear something crazy? You guys know who Arc System Works is?
Is that a dude?
No, it's not a dude. It's a video game developer.
Okay.
Arc System Works.
Did they make Blaze Blue?
System Works. Yes!
Oh!
Okay. Guess who's making a new Contra game?
Arc System Works.
What?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Is it going to be a portable? I
saw some screenshots the other day. Yeah, and I was like, wow, this looks beautiful. Because those guys know how to make 2D look good. I'm really hoping that they also know how to make 2D play good. Because Contra has been a problem over the years, in my opinion. Because the original Contra and the ones that came after it, and it just kept on getting better and better and better up until Contra for Super Nintendo... Super Contra, Contra 3.
Wait, was there a Contra before Super Nintendo, after the original Contra?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
There was a Contra 2?
There was Contra Hardcore for the Genesis.
Is it Hardcore or Hardcore, like PS?
Well, it's not Hard Corpse.
Okay.
Okay, but it's not one word.
But it's pronounced, but it's spelled Hardcore.
Wait, so you're saying that was actually a good one?
It was decent, but...
Because the title of this... is Hardcore. That's the title of it.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yes, and it's a kind of like a nod to that. There was another one for the regular NES. There was Super Contra. That also
Super
came
Contra
out.
Super Contra was on the Super Nintendo.
No. The arcade. Super Contra came out on arcade, and I think it also came out on NES. Contra 3 came out on Super Nintendo.
Okay, is Super Contra the one that was called Super C?
I don't remember... which one, what the U.S. name and the Japanese name was. I think the U.S. name was Contra 3, if I'm not mistaken, which is totally could be. Anyway, that was like the pinnacle, right? After that, for some crazy reason, they're like, let's give the Contra franchise, this is PlayStation days, to this developer named after an Appalachian horse. And it was just horrible. It was just a horrible result. I don't know why this developer made this game.
It was weird. The PlayStation 1 version, actually, I thought looked pretty good.
They did not do the game justice. I'm not sure if you know the version I'm talking about. But anyway, ever since then, Contra has been a shadow of its former self. And so I'm really hoping that this time...
Is that just nostalgia talking?
No, it's not just nostalgia talking. I think that the people who made Contra 3 just got it. They just got it so right. They were... It's been rumored that these are the same people that some of them went on to form Treasure and so on. And they just did it so right. They just got, I mean, just the timing of things, just the way they do collision, animation, all the dynamics, everything. It was superb, right? It was not just nostalgia.
All right, have you played Contra 4 for the DS? Because I've heard really good things about it.
Yeah, I haven't played that one.
I think you should check it out, because everything I've heard about it is like it's going back to Contra 3 and Super Contra and everything.
It's definitely in that same style, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's actually good or not. You know, I mean, the funny thing about this industry is that they'll say games like, you know, going back to its roots or whatever, but they're just talking about the way it looks, right?
There's... Yeah.
And the funny thing about R is that you and I could play a game and think it's just like the previous one, and then he'll play it and he'll be like, No, this bullet pattern is crazy. It's not right. This game blows, right? Nobody else would even know.
All right. Well, I want to give out my top picks for E3 since I'm actually going.
Okay.
So excited.
I was going to go, and then I'm not because I'm getting Kringles instead.
Wait, was that really the reason why you're not going?
The Kringles?
Yes.
Absolutely. Why else would I stay back?
Why are you laughing? Why is that funny?
You haven't tasted these things, man.
All right. Well, we got Reese.
What did Norm say?
He said delicious.
Delicious.
Yes, yes.
We got the guys from Infinity Ward, Respawn, are making an announcement about their next game. And, like, I really liked Modern Warfare 1, and Modern Warfare 2 was all right.
The Respawn group is announcing their new game?
Yes.
Nice. We probably won't see it for 3 years, though.
What?
They were just formed.
Yeah, I know. We're probably not going to see it for a while, but I'm really excited to see what those guys have got coming up.
Okay.
Oh, no. We're almost out of time.
We still got like a minute at least.
All right.
It's just the preamble. It's just letting you know it's coming around the hill.
I want to see Valve's big announcement that's coming out too. And Natal is going to be there, and the 3DS is supposed to be there too. So those things should be kind of cool to see.
Yes. And somehow we went an entire episode without mentioning the iPhone 4 and the possible gaming potential for a 960 by 640 screen.
Or the six-axis control that it's got in there.
960 by 640, yet still the same absolute size.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah,
it's got pretty high.
That's great. So now my thumb is covering up even more pixels than before.
Four times as many, to be exact.
There you go.
Yeah. All right, then. Well, we are out of business for this evening. Colin, you won't be here next week.
I won't. Don't forget to announce your Twitter accounts, because you got one, and you should do that.
You want me to tell people about it?
Yeah, I thought you wanted people to follow you.
No, that's fine. Cool, man. Cbox Alon is my name. Find us on Twitter. You got one?
I got one.
What is it?
Bearded Mick.
All right.
Bearded okay. Mick, yeah.
All right, we're done.
Bye. Right.
Good night, guys.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.